This is Rhema for today.
I said, are you listening to me? Blessed be God, and he fell into a trance, and he had a vision. Oh, he didn't see an angel. No, he didn't see Jesus, but he had a vision. Blessed be God, he saw a giant sheet let down from heaven by the four corners, and all kind of creeping beasts, both clean and unclean. And he heard a voice say, rise, Peter, slay and eat. He said, not so, Lord. Nothing unclean's ever entered into my mouth. And so the thing happened three times. The Lord said then, the voice said, don't you call unclean that which I have cleansed.
Welcome to Rhema for Today. Kenneth E. Hagin continues his teaching, The Supernatural, next on Rhema for Today Radio. Also, later in today's program, Kenneth and Lynette will tell you about this month's radio offer. Right now, let's join Kenneth E. Hagin for today's message.
I remember I was holding a meeting in the month of February 1952 over in Oklahoma City at the old Capitol Hill Tabernacle. And just as I was giving the altar call one night, suddenly the front doors burst open. And a young man stepped inside. He looked wild looking. Some others had already come down here. And then we'd send them to the prayer room as we do here. And then have them pray for the sick by the laying on of hands. And so this man stood there for a moment. And then he came down the aisle. And he stood there with these folks and he motioned to me. And so I stooped over to see what he had to say. And he said, sir, sir, sir. I could see he was quiet, you know. He was excited. And he said, sir, I was walking down the street two blocks away. And he said, as I walked along, it's in February, it's cloudy, you know, and overcast and dark, you know, only street lights. And he said, suddenly, I thought the clouds had parted. And perhaps it's a full moon. A ball of fire came down out of heaven, he said. And I thought it was the moon at first. But it came down and hung right up over my head. And it scared me. I stopped and stood there. And then he said that ball of fire started moving. And I followed it. And I followed it around this corner, down this street, and around that corner. And he said it came in the front door of this church. And I just came right in behind it. And when I got in here behind it, he was giving the altar call. And he said, I see God's dealing with me. Praise God. And he came down to the altar and was born again, hallelujah, and became a new creature in Christ Jesus. When you're praying for signs and wonders, you're praying, bless God, that the fire fall and that the light will shine and the voices will be heard. Amen. Yes, sir, in the average church today, you have people go to seeing lights and hearing voices and they'll turn them out. They'll turn them out. But when they do, bless God, they can come over here into their own company and feel at home, hallelujah. Amen. Amen, hallelujah. And I'll tell you this much right now, in your church, I don't care what it is, if it's not, you know, if you don't believe in the miraculous and the supernatural, you start praying for signs and wonders and they start happening, you'll be let go. But they being let go went to their own company, hallelujah. And if they let you go like the Baptist did John, well, he just come on over here, hallelujah. Praise God forevermore. Are you listening to me? Being let go, they went to their own company. I'll tell you, this is a company that believes in signs and wonders. This is a company that believes in the supernatural. This is a company that believes in the miracle power of God. Hallelujah. Can you say amen? Blessed be God. Hallelujah. Both now and forevermore. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Now then, as you go on reading, you'll come over to the 10th chapter of Acts. And you will find, remember, they prayed for signs and wonders. I'm skipping over some of them. I don't have time to refer to every one of them. But now then, there's a fellow down there, you know, by the name of Cornelius. Now, Cornelius was a Jewish proselyte. You see, he was following the Lord and all the knowledge that he had, but he didn't know about Jesus coming. You see, news didn't travel then like it does now. He didn't know that Jesus had come. This man is walking in all the light that he had. And so the Word of God tells us that this man was praying, and in his home he had a vision. An angel appeared to him. You start praying for signs and wonders, you're praying for divinely granted appearances, my brother, sister. It may be that Jesus will appear to people. It may be that angels will appear. And so the Word of God said that Cornelius saw this angel, and this angel couldn't tell him how to be saved. God didn't send angels to preach the gospel. God's ordained that men should preach the gospel. And so he said to send to Joppa and inquire in one house, the house of Simon the Tanner, for one Simon Peter, who when he is come will tell thee words whereby thy house shall be saved. And so Cornelius sent men, three men, there to Joppa to inquire in the house of Simon the Tanner for one Simon Peter. Peter don't know what's going on, but he's here in this house. And how did the angel know he'd be there? Because bless God, God knows. Hallelujah. I'm glad God knows, aren't you? Hallelujah. I'm glad he's all-knowing. And so, Peter, it was about time to eat, and he would have eaten, but evidently wasn't quite ready. He went out on the housetop to pray and fell into a trance. Oh, brother, you start praying for signs and wonders, you're praying that people are falling into trances. I mean, this is still an answer. It may be years later, but it's still an answer to the prayer that they prayed. Are you listening to me? I said, are you listening to me? Blessed be God that he fell into a trance. And he had a vision. Oh, he didn't see an angel. No, he didn't see Jesus, but he had a vision. Blessed be God, he saw a giant sheep let down from heaven by the four corners, and all kind of creeping beasts, both clean and unclean. And he heard a voice say, rise, Peter, slay and eat. He said, not so, Lord. Nothing unclean's ever entered into my mouth. And so the thing happened three times. The Lord said then, the voice said, don't you call unclean that which I have cleansed. And that happened three times, then was taken up into heaven. And then about that time, he came out of the trench, and he's sitting up there on the housetop. Oh, the way the houses were and so on, he couldn't see what's going on, but the Spirit of God, he was thinking about. He was musing, thinking upon, what does this mean? What does this mean? And so the Spirit said to him, oh, blessed be God, the Spirit said to him, you're praying for signs and wonders. You're praying that the Holy Ghost will talk to people, talk to preachers, bless God, and send them to certain places. And so, supernaturally, and the Spirit spoke to him, said, three men seek thee at the outer gate. Go with them, nothing doubting. Hallelujah. Praise God. And so, being sent forth by the Holy Ghost, the Spirit bade me go, Peter said later on. And he went down there to Cornelius' house, and the Word of God tells us when he got down there to Cornelius' house, Cornelius showed him how that he, at the ninth hour, 3 o'clock in the afternoon, this angel had appeared in his home and told him to send to Joppa. And so Peter began his sermon, and he began to preach about Jesus. And he got out of that 38th verse, and he said how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth, the Holy Ghost, and power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. And the Scripture said, while he yet spake unto them, the Holy Ghost fell on them. Yeah, thank God the Holy Ghost falls. Praise God forevermore. The Word of God tells us over in the 5th chapter, James, in the 7th verse, to be patient, brethren. Be patient unto the coming of the Lord. For the husbandman waiteth for the fruits. He's waiting. He's waiting. What are we doing about it? I'll tell you, we need to go and we need to pray for the rain. He's waiting for the harvest, for the early and the latter rain. And the Bible said, ask ye of the Lord rain in the time of the latter rain, so the Lord will make bright clouds. And the margin said, he'll send lightnings and give to everyone, praise God, rain, showers, and grass in his field. Yes, while Peter yet spake unto them, the Holy Ghost fell. While Peter yet spake unto them, the Holy Ghost fell. Thank God the Holy Ghost falls like rain. One of the writers, the prophets of the Old Testament, prophesied that his coming unto us will be like the rain. Hallelujah. Are you listening to me? I remember one time, there were some folks that challenged me. I usually didn't have much sense. I have a little bit more now, maybe not quite as much as you should, but I didn't have much sense. I'd always debate or argue with anybody that wanted to debate. I was in high school on the debating team. I always wanted to be a lawyer, you know. And if God hadn't called me to preach, I guess I would have been a lawyer. And so, in high school, I was always on the debating team. We never did lose. We never did lose. I'd always sum it up. And so, there's something about it. I don't know. It's just me. I don't try to be that way, but I'm always arguing the case. Always arguing the case. That's just me. Anyway, I didn't have much sense till I got to be about 25 years old. And up to about 25, if anybody wanted to argue or fuss or debate the Bible, I'd take them on head on. And incidentally, I never did lose. But I didn't make any converts and didn't make any friends. And so some dear ones were attending our meeting, and they challenged me, you know. And they said, if we are not right, you are. And I said, that's the best evidence in the world is you are not right, because I know I am. Praise God. Amen. Well, they paraphrased it differently. They said, what we mean is, if we're not saved, you are. I said, that's the best evidence in the world that you're not saved, because I know I am. Yeah, but we'd like to discuss the scripture with you. Well, I began to learn a little something, not much, but I said, well, no, I'm not interested in arguing and fussing. Oh, we don't want to argue and fuss, we want to discuss. I said, all right, then we'll discuss. So we got together to discuss. And just about the time you'd time down with the scripture, they had one little rabbit trail that they run down through the New Testament on, you know, and they'd jump back on that. And so I finally said, after about 2 hours of talking and discussing, I said, well, I'm going to quit. Only way I'll stay, and we'll continue, is that you take any subject you want to take, and we'll discuss it, and we'll not get on any other subject until both of us, by mutual consent, decide to do so. They said, we'll agree to that. I said, all right, what subject you want to take up first? They said, this Holy Ghost business. I knew right then they didn't know a thing in the world about him.
Welcome to Rhema for Today with Kenneth and Lynette Hagin. Right now, let's join Kenneth and Lynette Hagin.
Let's talk about the offer. You know, I want to talk about our daughter's CD called Anchor Moments. You know, in this, she talks about that many times God will just illuminate a scripture to you, maybe a song, whatever, that maybe something you're going through. We're talking about storms, something that you're going through that will just help you through that.
Be an anchor to you,
anchor moments. I remember that when, you know, our son Craig was, they diagnosed him with a brain tumor, and he was having to go through surgery. That's been many, many years ago. And I said to God, God, I just need an anchor moment. I just need something that I can give my son. And all of a sudden, there was a pen that just fell out of my closet. And this lapel pin said, you can make it.
Yes.
You can make it. And I gave it to him and I said, son, God just said you can make it.
Yes.
So anchor moments. We need these anchor moments.
And then I have this Ages, Stages, and Generations. It's actually three CDs. These are messages I preached at the church. But this is something that we say on the back here. And it's what I talked about. The generation gap is perhaps one of the greatest issues in the church today, yet one of the least addressed. Satan wants the young to despise the old, and the old despise the young. If he can divide us, we'll never be able to do everything that we should for God. Now, in this, I talk about how that everybody, every generation is at a different area, and they like different things, but we need to be able to have cohesion instead of separation.
Yes.
And to me, this is one of the best things I ever did in the church, to help everybody understand how to work together with one another, and it really works.
That's right. And my CD, what should we be focusing on? And of course, that is the positive and not the negative. And a book by our son, Don't Be Stupid.
That's taken from some messages he preached on the prodigal son. And actually, you know, it seemed like each generation looks at things differently, and he comes up with different things over the same messages that he's heard me preach and heard his pawpaw preach. But it's just a little different take
on the
prodigal son, and I think it's really good.
That's for a gift of $35 or more.
To order, call toll-free 1-888-FAITH-99. That's 1-888-324-8499. You can also order online at rhema.org. That's rhema.org. rhema.org. Or you can write to Kenneth Hagin Ministries. Our address is P.O. Box 50126, Tulsa, Oklahoma, 74150. We always love to hear from our listeners, so write in or email us today and become a part of Rhema for Today. Tomorrow, more from Kenneth E. Hagin with his teaching, The Supernatural. If you'd like, you can visit our online bookstore at rhema.org. Thanks for listening to Rhema for Today with Kenneth and Lynette Hagin.